Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into
the home team.
And here we go.
Welcome back into the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. We are right here in Athens, Georgia, at 5:07. And when it's just after 5 o'clock, you know what that means. It is time for the world-famous 5 at 5. It is brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Man, I don't get to do this very often. Usually when I do this, I'm the one asking the questions. But getting to be the one to answer the questions.
You should feel honored.
I know. Hopefully I can live up to the hype.
Which, have we achieved world famous status for this yet?
If not now, never. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that we have. Sound good to you?
Close enough, right?
All right. Without any further ado, Tyler, fire away on today's 5 at 5.
All right. So we've already been talking about bowls a little bit, and first question is, what is your favorite non-New Year's Six bowl you're looking forward to?
Ooh, this is a good question. You know, I was about to say Florida and Michigan, but that is a New Year's Six bowl.
New Year's Six bowl.
So I cannot answer that question. I don't know. I mean, that one tomorrow, Arizona State and Fresno State should be pretty good, just because it's not a great Arizona State team, but you've got a good Fresno State at 11-2 in there.
Right.
Might be one. I don't know, man. It's just so hit or miss. I mean, a couple of bowls got lucky, I guess, with some good matchups. I think that, you know, Missouri and Oklahoma State in the Liberty Bowl is about as good as the Liberty Bowl can hope for.
A lot of points.
That's what I'm saying.
At the over.
That should be a good one there. That's really it, though. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Just looking through the schedule, none of the matchups are overly intriguing to me. LSU-UCF could be interesting.
If LSU wants to be there.
Right. That's one where LSU might have a little extra motivation for that game, just because they don't want to be the team that loses to UCF.
Well, and the thing for UCF,
because Auburn already is.
Right. If UCF loses that game, they still have the "we don't have Mackenzie Milton" excuse to fall back
on.
Yeah,
that's true.
So they can still talk even if they lose the game.
Yeah, but certainly that's an interesting one. But maybe Temple and Duke in the Independence Bowl, just because of their in the Independence Bowl, just because they're nuts coach.
Yeah. Who wouldn't be excited for Shreveport, right?
Yeah. The Quick Lane Bowl with Tech in Minnesota. Will Tech fans travel to Detroit? No. To support Paul Johnson in his last game.
Jeff bet there was going to be less than 100 Tech fans there.
I mean, that's probably a pretty safe bet.
And the ones that are there probably live in Detroit.
Yeah. Army's must watch, I think, you know, when they're on. They've been a good football team. They're taking on Houston in that bowl game. But in a roundabout way to answer your question, Tyler, not really super intrigued for any bowl until we get to the college football playoff.
So this isn't a bowl that I'm particularly super intrigued by. I just find it interesting. Miami and Wisconsin playing for the second year in a row. Last year they were in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, that's kind of lame.
Now it's the new era Pinstripe Bowl.
They have fallen off, certainly.
They have fallen off quite a bit.
They have fallen off.
But Mark Richt is excited to play the Pinstripe Bowl.
I'm sure he is. But overall, just not really. It's weird because there are great non-conference matchups at times that do intrigue me.
Right.
But when you look at the bowl, I mean, Iowa State, Washington State, does that do anything for you?
I think there could be a fair amount of points in that one. It could be fun.
West Virginia, Syracuse, yeah. And the Camping World Bowl. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think they. And it's not always the people that select the bowl. It's not always their fault, but I just don't think a lot of intriguing matchups really got unfurled until around New Year's.
For some reason, I'm very intrigued by Baylor and Vanderbilt.
I thought about that one.
Vanderbilt doesn't get to play a lot of bowl games anyway, but having them play a Big 12 team, I don't know. That kind of has me curious.
Yeah, that could be one. But overall, I think Liberty Bowl for non-New Year's Six has the best, most intriguing matchup.
That's fair. All right, moving along in the 5-5, we were talking about a little bit during the break. I'm sure you're still riding the high of last Saturday night's MLS Cup victory for Atlanta United.
You couldn't tell by the clothes I'm wearing?
Right, he's got his MLS champ hat on
and
today.
Hoodie.
Okay, I didn't even see the jacket, but there you go.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been repping it all week long.
Just a little bit.
But obviously, win the MLS Cup. We already know that Tata Martino is gone. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much assumed that Miguel Almiron's going to be gone too. So do we expect this team to kind of take a bit of a hit next season, or can we expect them to be just as competitive?
Well, I think that depends on your definition of take a hit, because there is an added dimension to Atlanta United's schedule next year. Well, there's a couple added dimensions. First of all, when you're the champ, you get everybody's best game.
Right.
So there are going to be a lot of teams, in particular the old guard of MLS, who don't appreciate the way Atlanta United just came in and didn't pay their dues. They just came in and became the third expansion team to make the playoffs in their first season last year and then won the whole dang thing this year.
Right.
So it's going to be tough negotiating the schedule of MLS, but there's an addition with the CONCACAF Champions League that they've qualified for, which, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's basically the North and Central American club tournament. So by winning MLS Cup, and they also earned it just by virtue of their finish in the league, they've earned a spot. So they'll be taking on, I think in February, they're playing a team, I forget the name, but they're from Costa Rica. And that's, basically when you get further along in this tournament, it boils down to MLS clubs versus Mexican clubs.
Right.
An MLS club has never won that tournament. So Atlanta United, I have a feeling, because Arthur Blank is enjoying, he's got like the top 7 or 8 attended MLS games of all time.
Right.
MLS Cup just had 73,000 plus people in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is more than the last 4 Super Bowls. And I know that has to do with like stadium size and stuff. But even so, you got 73,000 people, which is something you're doing with regularity,
right,
to watch soccer. So, I mean, it's taking off. It's incredible what it's done to the city of Atlanta. But I just think that they may focus, because Arthur has those attendance records. He's got an MLS Cup now. Can you imagine the feather in his cap if Atlanta United were the first team to win this tournament? And the CONCACAF Champions League winner gets into the Club World Cup, which is the best club teams in the world. So you have a chance to go up against like a Real Madrid or a Barcelona or a Bayern Munich, and that would be huge. Because you may play those teams in like summer exhibitions sometimes when those teams are getting ready for their seasons.
But you're not getting their best players.
No, this would be a meaningful competitive game against possibly one of the best clubs in the world.
Right.
So I think Atlanta United want that. And we saw Toronto get all the way to the final this year and lose. And it kind of torpedoed their season because, I mean, you're balancing so many different things. So if Atlanta United takes a step back in MLS but is somehow able to win the CONCACAF Champions League, then it would be worth it.
Now, how much do you think the fan support might dip if they take a step back?
Yeah, that's an honest question, and I don't think, because they're the champion, I don't think it'll dip in year 3. Mm-hmm. I think that if they have a bad season, next season, and it's followed by another bad season, then yeah, I could see attendance starting to dip, but I don't see that happening. I don't think, I think Atlanta United is going to be a force in MLS for the next few years, just based on the talent they have on the team right now. Granted, Almiron's going to be gone. He's going to be tough to replace, most likely.
Right.
But still have a lot of good young talent on this team.
Right.
So Joseph Martinez included in that, and Darren Eales apparently or reportedly said today that they're working on a long-term extension with Joseph, which is fine by me.
Yeah. I never thought I'd get into soccer, but they've certainly sucked me in. And
they've sucked everybody in, because that's the thing. The city of Atlanta has been thirsting for a championship for decades.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was Logan asked me this because I'm someone that was in the stadium for both Atlanta championships in that span. I was in the stadium at Fulton County for the Braves World Series in 95. And it's just one of those things where I think a lot of people that were, you know, anti-soccer or whatever, it's because you mock what you don't know.
True.
And I think a lot of people in riding the wave and hopping on the Atlanta United bandwagon, it's like you're going to these games or you're watching. Well, you have to watch the game.
Yeah.
And so I think by watching the game,
right,
you get into it.
Yeah.
And you appreciate it.
No,
more.
I'm definitely in that same boat. You know, soccer is not a sport that I really had any particular interest in, but I'm like, okay, we have an Atlanta team. They're doing well.
Well, especially
watch
with
some games.
Atlanta playing the way that they play.
Yeah.
They're a very fun team to watch.
No, it's been very exciting, and it felt so good watching that game on Saturday night and seeing Arthur Blank finally get to hold a trophy.
I'm not sure, like, because it's funny because I actually got to meet Steve Smith as I was waiting to get into the locker room on Saturday night. He was down because – for those of you who don't know, like, the locker rooms and everything, those are all the same hallway as, like, the club seats and the field-level club and all that stuff. So you walk past people. And Steve Smith was one of my childhood heroes. And, like, so, like, I got to meet Steve Smith and walk into the locker room and see a champagne shower within, like, 30 minutes of each other.
Did you get soaked?
No, because they didn't let us get super close. I did get a little, like, as I was filming the video, like, some shot in my face.
Yeah.
And I tried to, like, wipe it off and, like, get a little taste, but... Other than that,
you were still there.
I was, yeah. I got to see it. That was a really cool thing to see. And again, I mean, it's a championship, and there's people out there who say it doesn't count or whatever. And you know what? You can say that all you want, but it's not going to affect how I feel about it anyway.
I mean, look at how many people showed up for the parade. That should tell you something.
Yeah, that's multiple hundred thousand,
and on a nasty weather day too.
That is correct.
Okay, so going from the best team in Atlanta to one of the worst. This has been a pretty atrocious year for the Falcons. In their past five games, they have not scored more than 20 points. So you got to imagine Steve Sarkisian will not be here next year as the offensive coordinator. Where do the Falcons go from here as far as the OC position?
Man, I saw something the other day that said Mike McCarthy, and if that happens, I'm just going to go jump off the bridge. Because Mike McCarthy's had the best darn quarterback in the NFL for the last, you know, 10 years.
And he's wasted him.
And he's wasting him.
Yep.
You know, you talk about what Aaron Rodgers is able to do and the immense amount of offensive talent that team has had. And it's like Mike McCarthy went to the Ferrari dealership and bought the nicest one on the lot, got in the car, sat down, cranked the ignition, only to realize he has no idea how to drive a stick shift.
Yep.
Because for those of you who don't know, they don't make Ferraris in automatic.
Right.
But or if they do, that is a new phenomenon.
So it's nice to look at. It's just not going anywhere.
Right. I'm sure they make them an automatic, but you're not supposed to buy one of those cars. Like,
right.
People laugh at you if you have, like, an automatic Ferrari or an automatic Lamborghini because the point of it is to drive.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I just think that if Mike McCarthy comes to Atlanta as the offensive coordinator, what's going to be any different?
Right.
You know, he's not creative. He's very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that might mesh well with Dan Quinn, but at the same time, I just don't think the Falcons have enough unique talent to overcome a conservative game plan.
Yeah. I mean, you already have a guy, Greg Knapp, on the staff.
No, I don't want
you
that
don't, you don't move him up?
No, okay. No.
So you're looking outside the
organization. We've seen
then.
Greg Knapp as Falcons offensive coordinator before, and
true.
It did not work very well. Granted, he had a quarterback who had no desire to study tape
that
at
is
all.
True.
He just took the DVDs and threw them in his
Left
trunk.
Left them in his trunk.
I still can't believe, man – I have never been more mad watching a feature than watching Jim Mora interview Michael Vick and
mm-hmm.
both of them talk about how stupid they were when they were
how
with
much
the Falcons.
They just didn't care.
I've never been more angry
yeah.
watching like a feature like that on NFL Countdown or Sunday, whatever that one was on.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You got Tweedledee and Tweedledum here
yeah.
who, you know, completely wrecked the franchise. And look, Falcons got really lucky. Like a lot of people – like, when I bring this up, they're like, oh, forgive Michael Vick, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm like, the Falcons got lucky. They hired Dimitroff. He drafted Matt Ryan. They brought in Michael Turner and Mike Smith as coach. All of those things created a perfect storm. And they made the playoffs in their first season together.
Yep.
So they got it right. But that doesn't mean Michael Vick gets off the hook. He did something, A, abhorrent,
yep.
and B, blatantly selfish to the point of getting, you know, the Falcons could have gone and the Falcons could have become the Browns.
Yeah.
I mean, look, at, I mean, they're just very lucky that they made the right hires and everything, but they Michael Vick could have turned this franchise. I mean, look who was playing quarterback for him that year when he was gone. Joey Harrington. And Byron Leftwich was overthrowing receivers by 50 yards.
We don't talk about the 2007 season.
I'm just saying, man, everybody's all soft on Michael Vick, the new offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Legends. Why don't they just hire Michael Vick? Let him be Falcons offensive. No, please don't do that. That would be horrible. The guy didn't even study tape.
So he can't be mad if Aaron Murray doesn't study his tape.
That's right. Yeah, Aaron, you've got an out. If you're out in Buckhead one night and you didn't get to study the game film, just say, I was just following your example.
There you go.
But in all seriousness, I don't know where the Falcons would go. I would hope that it would be a young, progressive mind. I mean, look at what we've seen with Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, although I'm still not sold on Kyle Shanahan because he seemed kind of like a doofus. But there's a lot of good young offensive coaches in the NFL.
Right.
I think you could go that route.
Okay.
It's like, hey, just hire Lincoln Riley. It's like, nah, if he's going to go anywhere, he's going to be for a head coaching job. And, hey, I would not necessarily be opposed to just, you know, if you could get Lincoln Riley for the Falcons – adios, Dano. I'm just saying. I wouldn't be a – but I just – Dan the Dan Quip – Quip. The Dan Quinn ship for me has sailed. I just – all those cliches, all that stuff just –
he's king of coach speak.
Yeah. I mean, and I say this all the time. That stuff it works great when you're winning. Yeah. But when you're losing, it's pretty easy, I feel like, for the team to – for you to lose the team.
I don't need you to tell me that they're being aggressive.
Exactly.
Not.
But I'll
say
this.
I can tell.
So I haven't really answered your question in terms of who, what direction they should go, but I'll tell you what directions they shouldn't go. Mike McCarthy and Greg Knapp.
Okay.
How about that?
Well, we've narrowed it down at least a little bit.
Yeah, we've taken two names off the list.
All right, so moving on the 5 at 5, I'd be remiss if I was on a show with you and we didn't talk at least a little bit about wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
So this Sunday night, tables, ladders, and chairs. Give me some predictions for the card.
First of all, I think the fact that they break this up, like, okay, a tables match is fine.
Yeah.
Because it's got its own objective.
The end goal is to put your opponent through the table.
Right. But then I see, like, Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton in a chairs match, and it's just a match where you can use chairs.
And only chairs.
What? That's so stupid.
Like, I think you can get disqualified from using,
that's
like,
what I'm saying. Like,
stick.
If you powerbomb somebody through a table, you're disqualified. But if you hit them with a chair, you're good. The chairs match is a stupid concept.
How about,
like, at least like with a tables match, you know, it changes the dynamic.
Right.
But with a chairs match, no, it's just dumb. Like, TLC matches are great.
Yeah.
Love them. They're some of my favorite matches.
Then how do you feel about Elias and Bobby Lashley in a ladder match with a guitar above the ring?
That one's good.
Yeah.
That one is good. And I really love that feud. I didn't like the way they were taking Lashley's character at first with Lio Rush, but I think they figured it out. Because Lio Rush was kind of way more annoying, and now they've kind of toned him back a little bit.
Yeah.
And now that he's a heel, you know, it helps even more. And Elias, I think they've done a phenomenal job with his character.
I think he's better as a face.
Much better as a face. And it was funny, though, because I noticed as a face he stopped saying, because usually when he's about to play guitar, he says, silence your phones,
hold your applause, and shut your mouth.
Well, he dropped the shut your mouth, but then this past SmackDown, he accidentally threw the shut your mouth in there, and he kind of, like, double-taked. But, no, I'm intrigued by that. I'm definitely intrigued by the women's triple threat.
That's going to steal the show.
TLC
That's
match with – and what they've done with Becky Lynch, oh, my gosh.
The man.
She's incredible. And I don't know if they needed to throw Asuka in there, but I do appreciate that because it's so hard when you have a character that doesn't really speak English to connect to this audience.
Right.
And I think Asuka's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit because she's an incredible in-ring performer.
I think they have her in there kind of to take the brunt of the beating.
Probably so.
So you can continue the Becky and Charlotte thing going forward.
And I think the other women's match, Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey, I just – Nia Jax does nothing for me. First of all, the only reason she's in WWE is because she's The Rock's cousin.
Yeah.
Second of all, that whole facebreaker thing is dumb.
I swear, because, she screams into the microphone one more time.
Well, they're playing up the fact that she broke Becky Lynch's face in a botched move.
Which, like, is notorious.
She's
for
a dangerous worker. She's hurting her fellow competitors.
She almost broke Charlotte's neck.
That's what I'm saying. So she's a horrible wrestler. She's not an interesting character. They paired her with Tamina, who they dropped Snuka from her name because they don't want to affiliate themselves with a guy who killed a woman in a hotel room back in the 70s.
But we all know. Right.
There's just Nia Jax does nothing for me. And if she was never on television again, I'd be 100% fine with
that. She's competing with Big Show for the amount of face and heel turns.
Oh,
consecutively.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But no, that'll be a squash match, I would assume, where Ronda Rousey wins. I'm trying to think what other matches are on this card. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins will be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm intrigued by the angle that they're taking with the Baron Corbin and the Braun Strowman thing, because Braun's going to show up.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in.
Right, because he just had arm surgery, but... You know, it's intriguing. The whole Baron Corbin thing. I love how they went shoot on Monday with Seth Rollins.
That was great.
Because it has been crap. Their ratings are low. And they're looking at it in the face and saying, yeah, we're in a bad way right now. And I know Baron Corbin's a TV character. So he's not making any of these decisions. He's just playing the character. So I don't know who they're really talking to here, but the Baron Corbin era as the general manager has been bad. The product has been bad.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, they're doing all these stupid, man, if they put the Revival, this great tag team, in one more Lucha House Rules match, I'm going to jump through the TV.
And they address that as well.
Right, because they're basically, Lucha House Rules means that, like, all matches are handicaps.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So, long story short... Should be an interesting pay-per-view. Did we miss any of the marquee matches?
As far as the marquee matches,
I guess
no.
There's a U.S. title match, right?
Yeah.
Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev.
Yeah, that'll be all right.
I got nothing on Finn Balor versus I don't even remember
Drew McIntyre.
That's
right. It's just singles match.
I do love Drew McIntyre. I love the new Drew McIntyre, but I've never really had any feelings about Finn Balor, really.
Got Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander for the Cruiserweight. That's always fun.
That'll also be good. But they gotta get somebody else involved in the Cruiserweight Championship. Like, I know Cedric Alexander held it for a long time.
Yeah.
And they had Mustafa Ali, I guess, at the last pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And that was a good match. But you're going right back to Cedric Alexander. It's like, you got other Cruiserweights.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever happened to the Brian Kendrick? Is he gone?
Good old Slappy. All right. In closing out the 5 at 5, it is the midst of the holiday season. Everybody's doing the Christmas shopping. Are you an online guy or a go-to-the-mall guy?
I think it depends because I bought an Atlanta United shirt online and the website didn't differentiate between, like, the men's and women's, so I ordered a women's shirt.
Oh.
So I had to send it back.
Oops.
So that's the thing. Online, it can be hit or miss sometimes. And, I mean, the hat I'm wearing and the hoodie I'm wearing I bought in person and made sure they fit and everything. I'm pretty meticulous. Because the fit always, like, and it's not just like because I'm a taller guy, you know, at 6'2", and not a taller guy, but you know what I mean,
right?
I'm at a weird kind of awkward height where, like, if some hoodies don't feel like they go down far enough,
yeah,
like, you know what I mean. So I like to do things in person if it's clothes.
Okay.
Anything else I can buy online.
Okay. Fair enough.
But, I mean, I will say this. I have enjoyed going shopping recently more and just kind of, you know, having an idea of what I need, but just kind of going and then jogging your head a little bit that way.
You never know what you're going to see.
That's how I'll do my Christmas shopping mostly. I've already bought some Christmas stuff, but for the most part, I will go because, you know, I've got 5 brothers and sisters, 3 brothers and 2 sisters. So
got
Christmas
shopping to do.
Unfortunately, yes. For my Christmas shopping, I have to start saving in like September. I like to give everybody a unique gift, and so I like doing that in person.
Okay.
So for Christmas shopping, I'm mostly in person.
Mm-hmm.
For any like other kind of shopping, I can do that online. But for Christmas shopping, I like to have that little special touch of doing it in person.
There you go.
Like
fair
I'm thinking
enough.
About buying my older brother an Oculus. You know those VR headset deals.
Yeah.
Just because he said he wanted one, but you know, I can't, if I buy that on, I feel like I need to go like in person and test it. So
see what it looks like.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That'll wrap it up for the 5 at 5.
Excellent. Today's 5 at 5, as always, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.